At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 11 recap of Survivor 42. And man, that was good. That was so freaking awesome. That felt good. It's funny how 2 weeks ago, we got sad faces. How do we dissect this crazy tribal and dark ways and all that? And then we come to this one and it's just like, man, that was fun. That is what Survivor is supposed to be about. Yes, there were a lot of advantages and blah, blah, blah. But that was just like, when it clicks, it clicks. Who cares? It was so much fun to watch that happen. Drea went out like an absolute champ. Huge Drea fan. Love that she went out that way. And I love the final six. I think this really, this is one of those seasons that is just absolutely benefiting from the fact that their best cast members, and this isn't a knock on the early season because they might have been great too, but their cast members, their best ones are still alive in the game. And that is what's making this so much fun. This final six is awesome. We have a little bit of everything. They're all playing the game. They all can't stand each other at this point. And yet we see Omer go behind Drea's back just for his own benefit, use Mike to his advantage. He's moving Mike around like he's a puppet, but it's so much fun to watch. I love it. Can't wait to see how this is going to shape up. There's six people who could win the game. Like, I'm serious at this point. All six of them could win this game. I have no idea what's going on.
100%. And it was really cool to hear Jeff echo that same thing that I feel like we and so many people have been saying. Obviously, like, you look at some of the best moments in Survivor and they are like the real outside of the game, actual fights, like actual people hating each other. But there is something so, so sweet about a lot of people playing good and or fun Survivor and totally at each other's throats, but like cracking up and like totally be like, quote unquote, being okay with going home at the end. And they're all playing different games. And guess what? Drea just told all of them how they're all playing.
I know.
I'm so into that.
I still wonder, like, how the hell have they not figured out a way to stop that from happening? Because there's been a couple of times where it's been like, hey, I'm going to spill everything at the same time.
The winner may have changed. And I mean that specifically to Omer, because I think when we'll need to do a walkthrough of everything she said. But when she was like, Mike, you're going to win, I feel like, and Mike was like, well, that's a kiss of death. And then when she said, Omer, you're the only person I told, he, I think, is the only person who wasn't loving that he got blown up, because he is finally on the table.
Yeah. So let's talk about these six, though, because all six of them, I think it was pretty easy to figure out what she said. She said she's rooting for Lindsay and Lindsay knows why. So I'm curious more as to what that means, if there's anything deeper.
I'm guessing amulet thing.
I'm assuming it's amulet related. Exactly. And now Lindsay has an idol next week, so that's pretty good for her. She said nobody knows. Nobody knows. They never mentioned the amulet to anybody, so nobody knows. And now Lindsay has it. We have Omer. It was, you're the only one I told, and I want everybody to know that. So that's obviously not a good thing.
Yikes.
Jonathan's was, I was never coming for you, but you were always targeting me. Mm-hmm. Strength trying to get strength there, and her kind of blowing up his game a little bit, even though I think his game is blown up. Romeo, you've been playing from the bottom the entire time, and I respect it. Okay, that's pretty good.
That is accurate.
You know, that's about as good as he could get. Mike got the, you get to the end, you're going to win. That's a kiss of death. And then Marianne got the, you just keep being you, or something along those lines.
Yeah,
I don't
hers
know what
was
the exact
nice.
Line was.
What did you say to Marianne?
It was something very similar to that. Like,
yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
And that was the one where I'm like, okay, what does this mean for Marianne? Because now we're at the final six. Marianne has an idol. Omer has an idol. Lindsay has an idol. Jonathan's going to win immunity, which puts Romeo and Mike in danger. Does Omer give his idol back to Mike? I would think that would be stupid at this point, and Mike doesn't seem like he's expecting it. But we are at now, as fun as this episode was, next episode, we are really at that point of like, well, this could be it. This is the explosion. But I'm curious to see how it's all going to explode, because there's a lot of advantages out there, and they're in the hands of people who can win the game. which
yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. And Andy just DM'd me saying Mike and Omar def know about the amulet. They probably, I like candidly cannot remember a conversation where that actually happened. Someone probably knows, but unclear if people are really like putting the, you know, putting all the steps in place there. But there's a lot of layers here because Mike gave Omar the idol. Did he give him the idol or is he holding the idol? Because that's always a weird thing.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing with this one. And this is why I'm pretty like stubborn about this. Omar, if he wasn't going to keep the idol for himself, what he does tonight is he lets Drea steal the idol from Mike and then votes Drea out of the game anyway. He had the votes, so it didn't matter. Have Drea steal the idol from Mike. Tell her she's totally safe. It doesn't matter. She didn't seem like she was going to play the idol. She seemed like she was just taking it from Mike. I don't know if she was going to play it. Maybe she was. I think in that moment, though, if you allow her to steal the idol, she thinks you're on her side. If she doesn't, if like by not allowing her to steal that, then she knew she didn't have the vote. She knew she was going home. That's why she played her extra vote. She's looking at Romeo. She's wondering, do I have Marianne? Can I possibly force a 4-4 tie? But by letting her steal it, she's going to feel safe because she can be like, good, they're on my side. Now they could turn around and vote Drea out of the game anyway with the 5 votes that they had or whatever it was. So I think 100% Omar did this for himself. He is going to keep this idol. He is not giving it back to Mike. I don't know how you give it back to Mike at this point. You're at the final six. If Omar does know about the amulet, then he knows Lindsay has an idol. He doesn't know Marianne has an idol, but still, that's nerve-wracking. They're all going for each other. You got to assume Omar's not going to win the challenge. He just said in this episode, they told you to get an education, nothing else. He's got to keep this for himself. I think it would be full. You were also just told by Drea that Mike is going to win if he gets to the end. Why would you give him power?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of what – on what terms it was transferred. Because if it's like the Shannon Ricard, like, but you said you'd give it back, no, like that thing, then it's bad. Because at this point, everyone needs an ally. And I think especially Omar is going to need an ally. But I guess that's what it really matters. Like, did Mike actually give it to him or did he give it to him to hold? But yeah.
But from Mike's confessional, he's like, I can't expect him to give it back to me, whatever. Like, he doesn't seem like he's going to be mad if Omar doesn't give it back. Because I think the way that Mike needs to look at this and the way Omar is looking at it is, Omar's the puppet master. He's the godfather. He's got the little thing here. And he's looking at it saying, Mike, I saved you. Now give me my reward. Give me what I deserve for keeping you around one day longer. Because if it wasn't for Omar, Mike would be home. So this is different than, let me hold this and I'll try to save myself. And if I don't save myself, I'll give it back to you. If I don't need to use it, I'll give it back to you. This is totally different. Mike is gone tonight if Omar decides Mike should go tonight.
And Mike loves to say that he's very loyal and like, I give you my word, this, that, and the other thing. So I think this is like, I do think that he will like,
he's giving it up.
Honor that. I will say this episode is a masterclass in why you should not tell people about the things that you have. I hope and pray that when Marianne and Romeo in the preview, when Romeo's like freaking out, this conversation can't leave. I hope it has nothing to do with the fact that she's telling him she has an idol. This whole thing. And also if anything comes of this episode, I hope it means that knowledge is power and do or die are gone forever because they both broke the same way both times.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But man, if anyone here is going on Survivor, for the love of God, do not tell anybody about what you have.
Yeah. And I understand in some situations
you have to.
People totally have to know that you have an idol, people, all that. But she did not need to tell Omar that she had the knowledge is power. She could have kept that to herself and just done it and said, can we get the votes on Mike? Well, if he plays his idol, okay, let's split it. Boom, steal the idol, use her extra vote, make sure Mike's the one who goes home. Definitely could have done that, especially since at that point, if they're already splitting the votes, it's too much chaos to try to get it to go back to, hey, let's focus on this. She is then in total control of that vote. She got a little greedy with it, but at the same time, I can't fault her because she doesn't have any allies out there. Her closest ally is Romeo, who has no footing in this game. Her and Marianne had a moment together, but that's really it. And she had a moment with Lindsay, and it seems like her and Lindsay are tight, but at the same time, how deep was the relationship? We didn't see much of that. I feel like she's trying to connect with Omar because Omar is her key to getting the extra votes here that she needs to win the game of Survivor. And I think she just got a little blinded by it. I don't fault her though. Nobody knows how good of a game Omer is playing until Drea said it tonight. That man, I keep saying it, but he has such a freaking mind for the game. It's insane. And we saw it again tonight with the edit. They keep on showing all of the plots, all of the plots, all of the plots. And then here comes Omer with his confessional in the chair, just being like, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to do. He goes, he made tonight happen. Put more Omers on my screen moving forward. We don't need the nervous, I don't have the like, my parents didn't love me as much. We don't need that type of underdog story. Mm-hmm. Give me this guy who leans into what he is. It's not neurotic. It's just confidence in a different way than we're used to seeing, especially in America. And I absolutely love what we're getting from him. He is owning this game right now.
He is on another planet. And he had a very like Cochran throne confessional, like him, like just sitting there with that confidence. Like, I feel like that wasn't even a wink. That was a slap in the face. Like, hey, you people who study edit, like this is him winning. But then again, Lindsay got the history and we were like, oh, here we go. And luckily that didn't happen. So I do appreciate that they're, you know, that they're switching that up at least. But to kind of go with like 10 minutes backwards, where we're talking about how all these people are playing so fiercely, there's been a lot of sloppiness here. But I think tonight, even though like there was a clear winner and a clear person who went home, every single person played really, really smart. Lindsay had Lindsay had like the very appropriate emotional reaction of like, oh my God, what the hell did I do? I do think she did the right thing. Like, she is probably the only person who could have maybe beaten him. And that was where she wanted to go in the game. And then doesn't let it blind her so that she doesn't strategize at all. Drea appropriately like, catches on that she's going home.
I thought you were praying was a great scene.
That was awesome. That was so great. And he was like, oh, I finished early. Like, I'm not a Muslim, but I assume that's not how that works.
Yeah.
And especially to go hang out with someone else. And then for Omer to come up with that idea and for Mike to trust, like every single person did everything correctly and well. One person was just a step ahead for everybody else.
One person was a step ahead and one person ultimately just got played. Like, and that's when Survivor's at its best though. When somebody is just getting played. Like, and whatever this new era is, whatever this season is, and hopefully this is the launch of a new era because I love the style that we're seeing. These are people who love a game of Survivor. Mm-hmm. Whether they loved it before they walked out there or they loved it the second they started playing, the minute that the game began. These people love Survivor. They're not doing this for anything but the love of Survivor. I even saw that with Drea tonight. Like Drea, she's out there. She wants her $1 million, whatever. But Drea loves this game. She is addicted to the competition of this game. And when you have people who are addicted to the competition of the game and the desire to win, name a more competitive final seven than we have this season. Name a more competitive final 11 than we've ever had than this season. Every one of these people wants to win so badly for themselves. And I just think like that is when Survivor's at its best. These people aren't playing the game to do anything else. They're playing the game to get further and to win. They're not playing the game, you know, with some hope of grandeur or to get their Instagram following up. Mm-hmm. They want to play Survivor. And we are seeing that it's a masterclass in that, and it's why it's working so well. Mm-hmm. Lindsay wasn't heartbroken because of anything except that she almost ruined her chance to win Survivor when she was totally safe. She didn't need to do this, but her competitive nature wouldn't let her change from who she is. And yet she still, like you said, went to the beach and said, how do I strategize to make sure I am still here tomorrow and I get what I want if I survive this thing? It's awesome. It's just fantastic to watch. And I love what every one of them is doing.
It is really awesome. And I'm really, really glad that she was not punished for being competitive because you should not be punished for being competitive on this on this show. And we'll talk about like the twist in a minute, but I am really, I'll use the word happy that Drea went out using all of her advantages and like going for it rather than like losing at this and then just going home with the do or die. I'm glad she played everything she could, and that's all we've been wanting. And obviously it would have been cool for her to do it all correctly, but she burned all of her advantages on her way out, and that's an awesome way to do it.
However, she did leave the game with an unused advantage because she had the amulet. So she does get the point for that for the prop bet because we gave it to High too.
That's
so.
True. Oh, we okay, got it.
But she couldn't use that. There's nothing she could do about it because she had right. to be able to work with Lindsay.
But
and
it
Lindsay
was unused, I suppose.
Right. But it was unused. So technically, from that standpoint, it's still... I think
everyone knows how to break it already.
Everybody knows how to break it. That's fine with me. It's worked. Even in two seasons where every single person knows who has every idol, with the exception of Marianne's right now, it has still not worked successfully. That's great. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. You cannot do the do or die again. And here's why. At least not in this style. Why would anybody ever participate in this challenge again? Lindsay said it tonight. I regret doing this.
Yeah.
Now we have seen it twice. First of all, for all you Monty Hall people, a giant, it still doesn't make any sense. You're wrong. I'm right because 100% of the time on Survivor, the person who has stayed has gotten it right. But here's the thing.
Whoever Monty Hall and his problem is, they can get out of
get
here.
Get him out. It's his problem. And you know what? If you followed the odds, according to Monty Hall, you'd be sitting on the jury bench both seasons. That didn't happen, though.
High said that from the jury bench.
And yeah. High said it. And I'm like, you got to trust High, whatever. But here's the thing. Lindsay said it was a problem. Two seasons in a row now, we have all sat here and we have watched this happen. Nobody is going to willingly put themselves in that position ever again. Unless they are Jonathan, who if they don't win, and they'd have to be in a worse position than Jonathan, but if they don't win, they're going home. They have no protection. They need to do this. Either they're going to win the immunity challenge and they could actually win it, or they're going to play the do or die and hope that they're alive. Mm-hmm. But you are not going to get more than two people to ever do this in a season again. I don't think that it's going to happen. And that's why I think you just have to cut it out, because now you're just going to be hoping. And what happens if nobody participates? Nobody does anything? Like, there's no, like, what happens if only one person participated? I want answers to these questions. And I think that you're going to see that the next time, unless Jeff says, if nobody participates, then nobody has immunity. So what? We all go to immunity. We all go to tribal council without immunity. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, let it be. I'd rather people go without than nobody has immunity. I think that would actually be, I'm kind of shocked that kind of hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
I think it's gone. Knowledge is power is, I think, significantly less powerful of an advantage now that people have watched it and 43 onwards. I'm same as you. I have no problem with it being around because people know how to break it. And now the only way for it to be good is for you to not tell people about it.
That's the only way.
Now I'd actually kind of like to see it happen because now everyone knows that this thing exists. So if it does successfully happen, then it's impressive. Then I think it's really good. I think do or die is gone. I hope it is gone. It would be really, I really don't care that Lindsay got whatever amount of confessionals the past 8 weeks. Like if she went home tonight, that would have been terrible. And I think she and Jonathan, I maybe they're brother sister now, kind of.
Yeah. They just butt heads. It is what.
Yeah. It's like butt heads are light. Like they just are both the two most athletic people there. Mm-hmm. But I even think Jonathan obviously wants someone else to go home other than him. But for your main competitor to go that way, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, and I said this last season when they brought in the hourglass twist, and I still believe it. You can't start rewarding people for not trying. Yeah. Once that happens, that's the end of Survivor. Jeff says it every season. We've talked to these people. Every one of them has the same thing. It's a competitive nature unlike anything else. They're all professional athletes. Seriously. They all have something in them. And you can't start saying to people, hey, if you don't participate, you have a better chance of being here later. If you don't try as hard, you have a better chance of being here later. That defeats the purpose of the game. You start to ruin it at that point. And we're towing that line. Lindsay was beating herself up for trying. We had Mike and Marianne both picking her up, saying, no, you're competitive. Don't lose that, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, we have them saying, kind of hope she just goes home tonight because then it's not me.
Yeah.
There is no reward for participating in this challenge when there is a Jonathan standing there. Now, what's interesting is this challenge is more set up for a Lindsay to win than a Jonathan, which is why I think ultimately Lindsay did it. But as I said in the predictions podcast, Jonathan's just great at everything. He is just going to be able to compete in anything. It doesn't matter.
I cannot believe that challenge is over in 12 minutes, especially knowing that Christian and Alec went on for 5 hours. That was such a testament to, I feel like also the first half of this episode is all about just how completely drained everybody is.
Yeah.
Everyone's bickering. Everyone's hangry. Everyone is so skinny. Like seeing Romeo and seeing Jonathan, just like
Jonathan is
these skeletons,
nothing.
And especially the way he had to hold himself up, it was just like, look,
you
like,
could, there's no starvation.
There's exactly. But it was really cool, the montage where it was like sweating, stress montage, and then like, you've been up here for 3.5 minutes.
That was crazy. Cracked me up. I know. Yeah. But it's so much fun, right? Like at the heart of it, that's what Survivor should be, is like, I'm okay if they shorten these challenges because they don't want to have them going all into the hours of the night. But it was so fun to watch Jonathan versus Lindsay. I just wish that it wasn't with hanging over her head, man, Lindsay is in trouble or Jonathan is going to go home, one of them. And here's the one thing though, that I will give the editors credit for in some weird way. First of all, Lindsay's edit has picked up considerably. Could be the, somebody said in the comment, better version of Erica's edit from last season.
Yeah, it feels very Erica.
It feels very Erica, and it has picked up some freaking steam here. And over these last 3 weeks, and then going into the home stretch here with an idol and all that, she could really, really run this thing. And we go, holy shit, how did she pull this off? But we're satisfied with it because it picked up considerably. However, with Lindsay getting such a bad edit early on and her being the one who does the do or die, I said it in my predictions. I'm putting Lindsay in the bottom because I'm assuming she's going to go home because of her edit. And this is where it makes sense. The fact that she did it, she didn't swap out her box. She kept one, went against the odds, and still stayed in the game to lose Drea, who was my winner pick and who I really, really, really think had a chance to win this. If she could sit at the end, everybody was saying it.
Yeah.
Woo. That's a hell of a job, especially since we're getting to know Lindsay better in the buildup to this. That's the time normally she'd get cut. Well, yeah,
totally. And now she's one of, you know, it's the final six. All three of these idols expire at final five, but apparently there might be one that expires at final six. Lindsay is probably safe next week. Like, I think everyone has these idols to play. And I think, like, kind of going into edit a little bit, this Marianne was not the star of the show tonight, yet she's kind of still was. I think the toenail thing was extremely weird, but I feel like it was a good like juxtaposition from the beginning where she was talking and everyone on Taco was like, I don't know, that's so weird. And now she's saying something weird and people are like feeding with it and like engaging with it. And then she had a confessional that Omar has also said, but I think now he has this huge target on his back and she doesn't. She's like, she and Jonathan both said this tonight, but like, it's a weird balance of, you need to take a step back, but you can't have people not think you're doing anything, but you can't be too much of a threat. The difference is Jonathan is just 9 times the size of her. So it's a little easier for her to get away with that. And I think she's actually doing a good job of it.
I agree with you. And the thing is, like with Jonathan, like I understand his frustration tonight. I know that people are going
to
be, oh, there's
to not have any food. He's eating half the food.
He's dying. Like Romeo's over there eating everything, sitting like Kenny. I just can't get out
He's
of my
so
head.
Kenny.
He's so Kenny. Jonathan is doing his thing and he feels like he's not getting credit for it. I'm not saying he should get credit for it. It's Survivor. You don't get credit for anything, whatever. It's the game. However, I understand his frustration. He's tired. He's beat and they're looking to him for a lot. And like he said, he's trying not to get in the limelight, but it's so, he's doing it so much that it's actually not being recognized at all. How do you toe that line? Marianne kind of has the opposite of what Jonathan has. There's less expectations. And at first it was, she's so silly. Wait, is she becoming profound? What is happening here? And that's happening. There's a leveling off. Whereas Jonathan's was like, he's up here. Why isn't he pulling his weight? He should be doing more. Like, those are the types of weird situations that we get on Survivor based on where you come into the game. That being said, I honestly think both of them are doing about as well as you can do with who they are naturally on the outside. Totally. Marianne is having a hell of a time out there playing this game. And I love that for her. And you know what? She gets to the end. People might just vote for her because they freaking like her. Like she's weird. And they say, how did you do
this?
Boom. Give her the vote.
Yeah. And I think at this point, I do think anyone can win except for Mr. Romeo. He has voted incorrectly many times now. Yeah. That like after tonight, I was like, God, come on. That felt like your fourth in a row. I think everyone has something that they can own or like a game style that they can own. And Romeo's is playing from the bottom. But yeah. The difference is I don't think it will have the same amount of respect as the other five people's games.
Agreed. So I got this text. This is from Kevin Smith, one of our patrons. I think with all the Jonathan versus Lindsay teases, this is setting them up for a fire-making showdown. Alexa, what do you read into this? So obviously, Jonathan, the favorite to win every challenge now. Drea and High are both gone. Lindsay is good at challenges. She doesn't need them as bad, though. Jonathan, I feel like, is just better at this point. We have Jonathan. We have Lindsay, who has an idol, can get to Final Five pretty easily. You seeing Jonathan versus Lindsay here as our Final Four fire-making challenge to get into the final?
Is that what you put in your thing, in your bootlist game, or was that something else? Or was it like Jonathan and Lindsay win?
Where's my bootlist?
It's some.
I think I did it. I think I had them both sitting there, and I think I had them lose to Drea. Hang on. I might have been really close on this.
Hold on, while you're doing that. I don't envision the way that Jonathan goes home being by losing the fire making challenge. Lindsay, maybe, but I don't know. I think to me, like, I like them as like challenge competitors. It would be cool to see her like get one over him now, just because he's beaten her more. Or I don't know if that's actually true. Maybe he has. They've been really even with each other, but it very much could. I'm just upset that they're not actually fighting. But she has some carryover from a few episodes ago where she's like, he just talks to me and tells me what to do, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I think
the difference is they're not like fighting.
I think the difference at the end of the day, like when we always make these like brother-sister comparisons, the older sibling always has the upper hand. It literally doesn't matter. Unless the older sibling is Vetus and you're Aris and you've won $1 million and your brother's been in drug rehab, you always have the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is when you try to make that comparison in real life, because I do think they have a very brother-sister relationship. Mm-hmm. I think what it ultimately comes down to is nobody's actually the older sibling. So you better treat me with freaking respect because I'm an adult. And I think that's where it gets missed.
They're the twins where he like physically should be kicking her ass at everything. And he's not. Yeah. And he doesn't love that. And she like, it is fun. I really like it because it is what Shannon Ricard like could have been.
Yeah. So I totally butchered Marianne here. I had her at 14 in my boot list. I haven't looked at my boot list since the beginning because I totally forget. I have Jonathan beating Mike in fire of all people. And I have Lindsay getting second and Jonathan getting third and Mike getting fourth. And I had Drea winning.
Dang. Pretty darn close.
I hate you, Drea. I hate you. Why couldn't it have been somebody else who went on the night?
Why'd you have to tell Omer?
I had Omer at 12, Marianne at 14. So those were the two I really missed on. But that's pretty cool. I mean, I didn't realize that, and I'm happy you brought that up. I had Jonathan beating Mike in fire to get to Final Four or to Final Three. That's cool. I'm happy that you brought that up. And Lindsay and Jonathan, 2-3, maybe replace Drea with Mike or with Marianne or Omer. I mean, Omer could beat the two of them in a Final Three.
Absolutely.
Marianne could just because of her story at this point. That could happen. Man, I was close. Drea, why'd you pull the wool over my eyes, Drea?
I know, Drea.
My Canadian princess, right? That's where we're at.
Mike's like, I'm visiting in Canada.
I've totally turned after last season, putting all the Canadians getting out so early. I have Drea winning, and then I get...
Finally, one of the Canadians... There's only two Canadians left, right? Marianne and Omer?
Yes, that's true. I keep forgetting. Man, I keep forgetting how many Canadians were on this season.
Canadians are really, really killing it this season.
Taking it over.
So bad.
But yeah, no, I like that. I like that I have three of the final six in my final four. That makes me happy.
It's an awesome final six. Again, all of them have a very different story. They all have a very different style of gameplay. All of them like each other and none of them trust each other. And that's really, really what I'm looking for a final six. I haven't liked a final six this much since I really like David vs. Goliath is a good one, but it felt like there were three people who could win out of that. This feels like five.
And it's the same thing. Like you look at a season like Millennials vs. Gen X, you had Adam, you had Jay, you had David. You knew Brett, Hannah, and Ken weren't going to win. Mm-hmm. Brett would only win if he went against Ken and Hannah. I agree with you. I think Romeo is really the only one with a 0% chance no matter what. I don't see Jonathan with much of a path, but if Jonathan sits next to Romeo and I don't know, and Marianne doesn't do anything before the final three, maybe they do vote for him if he wins the rest of the immunity challenges. Like, maybe they just respect that. Who knows? People are going to vote on their own merits. So whatever. I just think, like, this is a phenomenal final six. And I mean, even Romeo has no chance to win. That's what happens. There's always going to be somebody who just never has any footing in the game. And I can't really fault him too much because he's tried. Yeah. He just can't get in. And not for nothing, Romeo doesn't have the type of personality to pull what Omer's pulling, even if he doesn't have the power. That's just how it is.
Exactly. Yeah. What else do you have on this episode?
So I want to talk about Omer and Mike, because Omer goes and tells Mike, at this point, do we think that Omer felt that if he sat next to Mike, he had no chance, and now he is trying to pretty much make the argument that if I sit next to Mike at the end, I am the reason he is here. Between this episode and between the high boot, that is 2 weeks in a row that Omer has totally owned Mike and told him what to do. And it's worked for Mike and it's worked for Omer, but Omer has the power. Everybody thinks Mike's going to win, but if this word gets out and Omer starts to be able to tell people, doesn't Omer pretty much auto win over Mike at the end of all this?
I think he does. And Drea saying that to Mike, honestly, kind of surprised me, because I feel like we are now in the past few weeks, we're being shown that like Mike is probably not going to win. I think everyone loves him. I think he's probably the most liked person left and has been for a while, but we're just seeing him getting led around by Omer. And you have my word, I'm voting you out. You have my word, I'm voting you out. Yep. You have my word, I'm voting you out. And that's, you know, I'm curious, like, what if he gets to the end, like, what his angle is going to be. I think he has, like, mm-hmm. he has plenty of moves, but I think Omer maybe thought he had a better chance of beating Mike than beating Drea, and he was like, I can 100% get an idol by doing this, or this also just, like, after doing this, he can definitely beat Mike rather than beating Drea.
Well, and that's the funny thing. People in here are saying, well, Mike is a puppet. Bob Crowley was a puppet, and he won. Like, you can win being a puppet if you sit next to the right people and the mm-hmm. person who was using you as the puppet isn't sitting there, you know? And I think that's where, like, Mike, mm-hmm. right now you have to think, Mike is saying, you have my word, and then it cuts their throat. Drea was ready to cut Mike's throat. I don't think Drea said, Mike, if you get to the end, you're going to win. I don't think Drea is mad at Mike for how tonight went. He even said, you threw
didn't
two
seem
votes
it.
At me. You threw two votes at me. So I think Mike is fine with Drea. High, he might have some explaining to do, but everybody else he didn't have as much of a connection with. If mm-hmm. Omer goes, Mike's got to be the favorite to win. I think Omer's the favorite right now. I think Mike would be the favorite after that. And then I think it would probably be Lindsay, then Marianne, and then Jonathan, and then Romeo. You know, like, that would be my order right now if I was saying who can win.
But do you think if Omer goes that he would let Mike take the credit for, because I think if Omer's on the jury and Mike takes credit for things, Omer will be like, I told you to do that.
I don't know
what kind of jury member he would be.
I agree with you there, but what if Mike is the one who votes out Omer? That would be the thing. Now, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, he would have to do that.
He would have to do something like that. I think I do agree with you. The worst thing for Mike's game is, well, he's in a bad spot now because Omer can go to the jury, and when he goes to the jury, he just says, nah, Mike, you didn't do any of that stuff. And I almost wonder, is Mike in a better position if he gets to the end with Omer? Because then Omer's trying to pitch his case and Mike can kind of try to defend himself better rather than have Omer just talking about him behind his back, which there's nothing Mike can do about that.
Yeah, it always depends, like, what kind of jury member people are.
The Celtics just lost to the Bucks, by the way.
God, that... Okay.
I know. I want to curse really loudly, so...
Darn.
Yeah.
Wait, like, really badly?
They lost 110 to 107. They just choked it away at the end, got outscored by 12 in the fourth quarter, because that's what the Celtics do. Anyway.
So the other night they did quite the opposite. Well,
yeah, well, they just got screwed. They just gave up home court. All right, anyway, I'm done.
Anyways, yeah. I just realized this after Phil and I have known each other for like 10 years, that we actually root for the same NBA team, which is,
yes.
I don't know why that took so long. Oh, we spoiled it. Sorry. Let me think what else here. I can say who our guest is going to be. We actually, dare I say, pre-booked a guest.
We have two guests. We have two guests for the final two episodes. We did it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we do.
We did it. Well, don't mention who the finale one is just in case they bail because, you know, they know how they are.
You know how people are. But this Sunday, we are going to be joined by a fan favorite and one of our favorites from last season, Mr. Danny McRae. He is going to be joining us Sunday, bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's been no secret that we, one, haven't put a ton of effort into getting guests, but also just haven't been able to get guests. So we're really, really excited to have him back on and round out this final six of us. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be really, really interesting to hear his take on this season because he is the reason why the merge was like slightly less horrible, but also maybe not that much less horrible. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm very excited, especially since he's a season removed and now he can look at it all from an outside perspective without actually being burned by everything that took place. So I agree with you. Very excited to see what he's going to have to say. That's it. I hope everybody's enjoying all of this. We're going to have 10 a.m. on Sunday and final six. Couldn't be better.
Gonna be awesome. Six.
Love it. Very excited for it. And for anybody keeping track at home, Danny went home at final six last time. So he can tell us all about what it was like to get booted at this point.
Exactly. Can't wait.
Can't wait. All right, everybody. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.